Louis Eriksson has agreed to a 6-year deal with Vancouver Canucks.
First time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup. Center ice, right? And he scores! Baby!
Oh, skip past Pucci!
My contract sucks.
Dustin Bufflin's had a heck of a series, and Chicago in total control.
Yeah, this is all over. You can order the autopsy
with the
now.
The fifth selection, Vancouver select from the London Knights, OAU Levy.
Yo, what's bappin', sports fans? It's Aaron and Stefan for I Hate This Team. Stefan, how's it going, brother?
It's good. It's good. We had a patron leave an exit survey on Blocked Party this morning. They stopped subscribing because I was too disgusting on one specific episode.
Oh, so. What'd you say?
Well,
they're not a patron for this show too, but
well, yeah, and if they are, I apologize because you're gonna want to leave now. Because anyway, basically what I said was, it was essentially like, what would happen? Basically, the discussion started where I was like, I think if you have a bigger ass, you take bigger shits. And which I think sort of makes sense. And we got into a whole debate, me and John, because John has a bigger ass than me. And then I was like, well, the way to figure this out would be for both of us to shit and kind of compare it. But how do you control for the shit being like different, right?
Yeah. How do you define a bigger shit too? Like,
well, like longer, thicker, heavier, like all those things.
So it's like by volume.
Yeah.
It'd be
pretty
easy then, right? You just collect your stool and keep like a running average, I guess.
It's more like, well, what if someone, you know, if you're doing just a one-off, like someone could be just having a bad shit day and they could have diarrhea or whatever. So I was like, well, what you would need to do is basically like, I don't want to say like freeze a shit and put it up. Like you have to basically have like a control shit that you put up each of your asses and then shit it out.
Well, you just have to do it over like a long enough period of time where you get like what a good average, like you'd have to do like track every shit for a week, which I think realistically you guys work from home now, so you could probably do it, but
yeah, I think realistically that's probably the best way of doing it and the smartest way of doing it. I didn't arrive at that conclusion, but we talked about it for like 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were like, this is like too much. So, which I get, you know, I understand. So
they would hate WFYM.
I mean, I think talking about shitting and stuff is perfectly normal. You know, obviously this is a,
everybody poops.
Yeah, this is a Canucks podcast, ostensibly.
Yeah.
But we spend a lot of time on here talking about, you know, fast food guys and what have you. I haven't really caught up with JKM recently.
Me neither.
I know, you were saying he hadn't posted for a while.
Yeah,
right?
He took like a week off for the first time in like 5 or 6 years. So
yeah,
there was
everyone thought he was dead.
He had moved on to the other side, but
right.
Now he came back with more frozen food reviews. We learned that shrimp boomba, not an actual food. It's just a Trader Joe's thing.
Oh, okay. So they just, it's a branding thing at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Okay.
My guess is the sauce is probably close to like a Kung Pao because it is shrimp, right?
Right. That makes sense, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But nothing really that interesting or nasty's happened lately that I can remember with those guys at least.
Okay.
Not a lot interesting happened in the Canucks game against the LA Kings last night either.
No, it's so unfortunate because you go into it, you know, to watch it and you're like, man, like LA is a good team, but why can't they just be like fun to watch? And I get as a fan of a team, it's like, you want them to win. You're happy when they win, obviously. And like, sometimes I found like the Canucks played, you know, the first couple of Luongo years, they weren't the most entertaining team, right? Because they just relied on goaltending and good defense. And it's not the most entertaining brand of hockey. At the same time, as a fan of the team, you're like, well, we won. I'll take it. And also, you do sort of relish in the fact that fans of the teams that you beat are like getting even more pissed off about it, right? So I get that. But at the same time, man, like what? It's such fucking brutal hockey.
It's kind of cynical. Especially because of like how much they do it, but it's not to say like a 1-3-1 can't produce entertaining hockey. Like when the when Tampa was running roughshod over the different COVID playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. They were doing 1-1-3-1. That was fine. Yeah. Washington won the cup. That's what they did too. I don't know. LA just goes full on a bit too much. They don't really have that like high end elite talent to make it really interesting. Yeah. My hot take from last night is I was really enjoying watching that game until the second LA goal. And then I think I was probably upset because the Canucks weren't winning. And then, I mean, when LA is ahead, they really, really sit back.
Yes. And they sit back. That made like it worse normally.
To watch.
And then, if they're ahead. I mean, the Lafferty goal was great, you know?
Oh, the Sam Lafferty Bertuzzi. That was awesome.
That was crazy. Yeah. And also, like, he scored, you know, I mean, I feel like people have kind of, he started out the season really hot. And everyone was like, man, he's been great. And like, obviously he's quieted down a little bit, but he still has 12 goals on the year, which is like for a fourth liner. That's exactly what you want. Awesome. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's definitely a player that I wonder if they'll be able to bring back next year or there should definitely be an appetite, but like pending what happens in the playoffs, like if he has a goal like that in the playoffs, he just earned himself another $1.5 million a year and maybe a couple extra years on his contract.
He's exactly the type of guy that you do not under any circumstances give term to. And he's 100% replaceable. I mean, they got him for what? Was it a fifth they got him for?
A fifth, yeah.
Yeah. So like I trust Alvin and Rutherford to do that again if they need to. You know what I mean?
That like, said, they can find like, another if Lafferty. The Canucks think they can't afford Dakota Joshua, cheaper, not as good replacement, but still adds a lot of the same elements in that game. But like back to the game last night, I really liked how the Canucks were checking, how they were winning battles along the boards. And then I step back and I think about the goals, right? First Canucks goal from Sam Lafferty, fucking awesome. The LA Kings first goal, incredibly bizarre. The Canucks only had four guys on the ice. I don't know if you heard like the post-game stuff, but Tocchet said that Adam Foote had told someone to go and they just like didn't get over the board. So like,
it was who it was or
no, my guess is Carson Soucy.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have a ton of ice time last night. And I mean, that could also be because of like the penalty and the puck bouncing off his skate three times. Like it just wasn't a banner game. Maybe the worst game I've seen Soucy play this year.
He looked rough from what I saw, and I think it hurts more because you know he's capable of better. It's not like Myers, obviously, you know, I don't want to shit on Myers too much, but it's not like a Tyler Myers thing where you're like, okay, well, that's to be expected. It's like,
exactly. Yeah. No,
expected Soucy to be.
He's
really
earned
good.
The benefit of the doubt, I guess. Yeah. So I'm not like holding it against him or anything moving forward, but it's not the best game from him. But weird shorthanded goal when they weren't actually shorthanded. You would hope Besser would check the man better, but like, big misunderstanding, tough luck, east-west. It would have been like a very hard, difficult save for DeSmith to make. Whatever. The 2-1 goal, complete fucking random, bounces off of Susie's skate three times, like we said, and he kicks it into his own net on the third bounce.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to write up that play. That's not because they were overwhelming you. And then the third LA goal, that was like a clusterfuck. Like you'd hope that Casey wouldn't give up that rebound and would be able to pause the puck. And I think if Demko was in net, that's probably what would have happened.
That was my exact thought when it happened was like, that feels like a goal that Demko would have had.
But that said, like that was LA's top line and they did a good job of passing the puck around and kind of breaking through Vancouver's defense. So you have to give them credit there. And then even with them doing a good job, it took like the puck weirdly bouncing off of Hughes' skate behind the net to Kopitar, who, I mean, I guess, again, credit to Kopitar for getting there, puts it into the net. So I'm not saying that one's completely lucky, but there was certainly some luck involved in it.
For sure.
And some bad bounces. And I mean, the Canucks got a fortunate bounce for their second goal with the empty net. So I get like some of that cancels out. But overall, it wasn't like LA horribly outplayed Vancouver or anything. It's just
road. It felt like a coin flip to me, which is like what you kind of expect with a team like LA. Like they're a good team, obviously, right?
Yeah. So
I get it. Does it suck ass? To lose to LA, sure, especially when they could have clinched a playoff spot. But the other thing with that is,
I'm not worried about it though.
No, I mean, obviously that's going to happen like next game possibly. I mean, they're playing Dallas next, I think. So
that's they have a Dallas tough matchup on Thursday, which,
and then Anaheim, is it?
And then Anaheim next? On Sunday at 12:30 Pacific.
Is that here or is that?
It's in Vancouver.
Oh, interesting.
It's like it's probably like the kids' day. Do they already do kids' day in Vancouver?
I thought maybe
junior PA. Not, I feel like
that was this past game. I think that was the LA game. I think it was. Was that the LA game or was the Calgary?
I think
game?
It was the Calgary game.
Yeah, because that would have been on Saturday night. So,
which we would be remiss. I don't have as many nuanced takes about the Calgary game because I went to a party, a house party, and I can't remember the last time I went to one of those.
How was that?
It was all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like one of my girlfriend's friends and I didn't know anybody there and neither did my girlfriend really. Like she had one of her friends and then like the person whose party it was. So, you know, you go around, shoot the breeze. It was pretty cool, but
nice.
We were able to get the TV turned on for the Canucks and Flames. So
of course
I would
It was mostly Flames fans there or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people watching the game either. There was like me and the missus sat on the couch and then some other people watching kind of from afar, which on some level, I was like, well, if I was just going to sit down and watch the game, I could have done it from home. But I guess now I'm socializing for the 17 minutes in between periods.
Yeah.
And I mean, we stuck around after. It was fine. But like the sound wasn't on and there's lots of distractions. So I was able to watch it, but like just not to the same degree
of
when I was home. But that fucking Nils Höglander goal.
Oh, my God. That was disgusting. The breakaway?
But the breakaway with Petey letting it off and Garland's outlet and the fake and the forehand back. Oh, God.
The kick and then just the little shimmy shake. Like, oh, my God. That was so disgusting. It was
so nasty.
And probably, now he has more 5v5 goals than McDavid. That, like, it's crazy, right? You look at the stats. He's at 22 goals now, I think.
Yeah.
And they're all even strength.
I think we should pat ourselves on the back for this one. Cause like dating back to the off season when, I mean, he was in the AHL and we didn't know where he stood on the team. We were saying like, he is a wall guy through and through. Tocchet's going to love this guy when he sees him at training camp, which didn't really happen. Like he made the team. Right. But I also think he would have had to have cleared waivers. So he's always going to make it.
He was still fourth line, healthy scratch level guy at that point.
But like he is fully blossomed into the player that I think we both thought that he would be. And by that same token, but Colson's been awesome as well. Got another assist last night. That Lafferty goal was created by Pod Colson, like being strong on the boards and throwing a big hit. I think Pod Colson had 6 hits last night.
Yeah. He's I guess that's one of the things he learned was just like, hey man, you're like a big guy. You should be throwing the body. And it's it's made him a really useful player.
Yeah, like even if he isn't producing at the level that you'd like to see someone that was picked at that high, he's been very valuable to this team over like really since he's been called up. And I think when the team's fully healthy, he stays in the lineup, right?
I would say so, yeah. The way he's been playing, he's so useful. Like he's a big guy who can like, he could like hurt people, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We've talked about this plenty of times of like who we're really excited to see in the playoffs, but Pod Colson strikes me as the type of guy who could just like absolutely lay somebody out, like first shift of the playoffs kind of thing.
Well, they had him out with like 90 seconds left, one goal game last night. Like you can tell that the coaching staff is beginning to trust him. I don't know who you take out, right? Because you have like healthy lineup, you'd have Dakota Joshua and Lindholm back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, Phil DiGiuseppe, you're fucking gone. And there was Amon last night as well? I guess you get Amon out of there, too.
Yeah, and again, they've both been, like, fine, too, is the thing, right? Like, it's just, like, it's, like, really crazy. And I wonder from the perspective of, like, other teams' fans, because I saw people in the Discord discussing this, but they were discussing, like, you know, do people want to match up with the Canucks in the playoffs? Like, other teams' announcers are talking about the depth that the Canucks have, and it's, like, it still hasn't quite sunk in the type of year they've had and that they're like a legitimately really good team. And of course the problem is that there are a lot of really good teams this year and I don't know who the clear favorite for the cup is.
Yes.
Like there isn't, maybe Like, I don't know. Is there one? Do you have one at this point, or is it still kind of like anyone's favorite? Game? Yeah.
For me, it's the 1996 duo of Colorado and Florida would be my like two big favorites. I rank Colorado higher than Edmonton just because of the additions that they made at the deadline and how well they've panned out to this point, right?
Yeah.
And then Florida seems to be like thermonuclear as well.
Yeah, Carolina is looking really
Carolina as well, also after the deadline, looks really nasty. And I some respect to Edmonton as well, but by that same token, like, they've been losing to shit teams.
Yes. Which, thank fucking God.
Yeah, I'm happy that it's not really a race for the division title. I was listening to Canucks Talk because I was driving home from work today, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but actually I do have some numbers that like inspired me to get onto Evolving Hockey. But since the All-Star break, or since the Lindholm trade, the Canucks had a 587 win percentage.
Okay.
And the Oilers have had a 600 win percentage. So
essentially
effectively the same. And like, you know, if Edmonton hadn't lost those games to, I mean, the Senators and Columbus and Buffalo, we might be having like a different discussion. Right. But
yeah,
but we're not.
We're not.
Back to the lineup for a second. I thought I really hate Phil Giuseppe on the Miller-Besser line. It's kind of like a black hole. I thought Suter looked really good there. And I know like the just straight up goals for that line had been really good since they'd been put back together. Same deal with the new, I'd call it top line with Hoglander, Pedersen, and Garland.
Yeah.
I understand why they did that. Cause I mean, they had some success early this year and yada, yada, yada. What I would love to see when Joshua was back, two things. I'd like to see Joshua get a shot on that line. Why not?
Yeah.
Two, let's try Pod Colson back there like they did in the preseason.
Why not? Yeah.
You could bolster the bottom six more with Joshua, right? And have like a Joshua, Lindholm, Mikheyev line, something of that nature.
Yeah.
And then you with also
the way
Mikheyev's
been
it.
Playing recently too, right?
Like yeah, he's bounced back. He's been good. And then you'd have a fourth line of, I guess, would it be Lafferty, Suter, and who am I forgetting?
Bluger, did you say? Did you say Bluger?
Oh, yeah, I guess Bluger. That's a really good fourth line.
That's a really good fourth line.
So, yeah, lots of options if and when they're all healthy. We'll see what's happening with Lindholm. Let me pull up the, I think it was Ben Kuzma. It's like Lindholm is day-to-day, but he's also not day-to-day.
Right.
According to Talkit yesterday.
Yeah, because they had kind of discussed like resting him as well, but it does seem like he has some sort of nagging injury
Here's the quote. Somewhat maintenance, and we've got to look at some stuff and evaluate every day. I don't know at this point about shutting him down. To be honest, I feel and we'll it's about feel and we'll see how it shapes out day to day.
Okay, that doesn't sound great, to be honest.
Like, especially when you compare it to what Talkit usually says about injuries, right? Which is, I need to talk to the doctor still. It seems like to me that Talkit has some information that he's like holding back. And maybe this is a bit like eyeball emoji, but like, why not just give a straight up answer? Like, he's day to day, like he does every other time.
Yeah.
So part of me thinks that like maybe it's something that might require surgery, might not, can try and play through it because, well, you're on a contender with a chance of making a Stanley Cup run. Like, as a player, you want to be a part of that. And then, two, Lindholm's had a bad season all season, not just when he was with the Canucks, right? So if you want to get a big payday, you have the opportunity to do that by being really good in said playoffs. So it, like, is really in Lindholm's best interest not to shut it down so he can be healthy to start next year, but to, like...
He's got
to
play through the pain a little bit.
Show it, right?
Yeah.
But I that's probably what the doctors are evaluating but I mean, he played through it against Calgary on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Cause he had been taking maintenance days. So maybe it got worse. I guess time will show.
I mean, it's definitely like, I think we're at the point where we can be a little worried about it, but like, and at the same time, it's like, okay, well, if he's hurt, let him rest. If he doesn't need surgery, maybe he gets better and he comes back in the playoffs and he's good again. You know, like that could happen, right?
But, that'd be dope. Yeah, I mean, shut him down for the rest of the season. See if I give a fuck. Like,
yeah, who cares at this point?
Yeah, fuck it.
How many games do they have left? Like 10?
10?
I know they've moved the start date of the playoffs back now. It was 22nd originally, and now it's starting on the 20th. Canucks' last game is on the 18th, so I'm hoping they don't give the Canucks a game on the 20th, but it's the NHL, so you never know.
Let's see. 20th. Hockey night in Canada.
God, dude, the first night of the playoffs is the fucking best.
I'm so excited.
Oh, my God, it's so good. I'm excited for the playoffs, like, regularly when the Canucks aren't in it, right? And, like,
yeah,
now that they're in it, I haven't had this feeling for so long of, like, oh, man, like, there's a Canucks game on at, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 p.m. or whatever, like, an early game, and, like, oh, it's going to be so good, man.
Oh, it's going to be summertime.
Yep. Oh. Yep.
I'm going to be a nervous wreck for the entire time that they're alive in the playoffs.
Yep. I'm excited for that. I said I didn't want hope again. Well, you know what? I can deal with a little bit of
We're
hope.
We're back.
We'll see what happens. By the way, is it still snowing out there?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't think it snowed so much like yet today, but the forecast is calling for it. Now. It's like fucking cold as shit. I was working outside today and like I was inside, but it's not like it's not heated. And there's like big windows and shit. So it's just like in the shade, in the cold. And so my cheeks are extra rosy right now. I was sniffling all day. But, you know, good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like minus seven, I think, when I was driving to work.
God damn. Yeah. That's so crazy for like the end of March.
I know,
I guess that's
right?
Normal for Calgary, right? So
it is and it isn't. Like, The bizarre thing is a week ago, it was like 16 degrees out and I was like, oh, it's spring. It's never going to be fucking cold again. But here it will just, you're basically not in the clear until after May long weekend, which is kind of insane. But usually it's like pretty good in April, but there might just be like another random dump of snow for a day.
Yeah.
But this cold,
Hopefully by the time the playoffs hit, it's nice.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun.
There's nothing better.
I got to get my ass out of here. Fuck Calgary.
Come to BC. I know that's...
That's the plan, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Just got to get my red seal. So on the note about the playoffs, right? Something I wanted to talk about today was what is the ideal first round matchup for the Canucks? I think if you're the Canucks, you don't give a shit, right? You have to go into it with the attitude of we're the best, we're going to fuck you up, and that's what they're going to do because they're like NHL players. But like as a fan and an analyst, like what do you have any preference?
Man, I mean, a while ago it was like Nashville, right? But I don't know if that's even possible anymore. And also like they're red hot.
They're playing this on I think it was on the broadcast last night. They're using HockeyViz, which is like another fancy stats website with a different UI that I don't want to learn.
Yeah.
But according to them, the most likely first round matchup for the Canucks was the Nashville Predators at about 44%. And if the playoffs were to start today, that would be the Canucks matchup. Just based on like points percentage, the Avalanche are ahead. They have a game in hand and they're a point back. So it's really close. So basically if they finish second in the conference, but first in their division, which they're going to, like, they're 10 points up on Edmonton. Edmonton has three games in hand, so not really a big deal there. The most likely scenario is that they play the Nashville Predators. The next most likely scenario is that they play the Vegas Golden Knights, which would mean they'd win the conference, right?
Yeah, because the Golden Knights are 5 points up on St. Louis.
It's over. That's fucking basically, over.
Yeah, and they have a game in hand. And they have a game in hand.
Like,
fuck.
St. Louis needed to win in regulation yesterday, and they didn't. It's funny looking at the NHL.com standings, because all the teams like above the line in the playoffs are like positive goal differential. They're in the green.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually in...
Oh, it is in the Western Conference order. It actually is, right? Because the top four in the Central have positive and the bottom four have negative, and same in the Pacific. Is it like that in the East as well? No, the East is a little
weird. No, because they have Washington in the East, and they also have Philly with a minus.
The East is so weird, dude. Yeah, oh my God.
Nobody wants Florida, it in the East.
Yeah, Florida, Boston, Toronto, Tampa, and Detroit all have a positive goal differential in the Atlantic. Buffalo is at zero.
Yeah.
And man, Montreal's minus 50. That sucks. And then Ottawa's minus 24. Then you got the Rangers and Hurricanes is the only... Man, the Met is kind of like the joke division now, sort of.
Yeah, dog. Philly's the... Not even a wild card. They're just like the third Metro team with a minus 8. And then
that's
you have the
so
Caps
funny.
At minus 27 holding down the last wild card
that's
spot.
That's incredible, man. That's minus 27 is insane. I mean, Ovechkin's been popping off, which is awesome. Like, I hope he gets the record.
Oh, yeah. The other thing with that, like, I guess the Islanders are still kind of in it, especially if Philly keeps losing. The Islanders are 4 back on Washington and, I guess, 6 back on Philly with a game in hand.
How happy are you not to be fucking worrying about like, oh man, we need to catch this 8th place team
so we can get destroyed
in the first round.
But it's funny with this playoff format that Detroit can only catch like that last wild card spot.
Yeah.
But like if you're New Jersey or you're the Islanders or you're the Caps, there's also like the whole Philadelphia isn't really a playoff team, right?
Yeah.
Right angle.
Yeah.
But yeah, the third most likely playoff opponent for Vancouver would be LA, which would be if Vegas goes on a heater and LA loses, and then LA drops to the spot that Vegas is in now.
That's the nightmare for me, given how they've matched up with them this year.
Yeah, which became less likely last night because LA won in regulation, so it gives them another step up. And then,
I mean, I would love to see LA fuck up Edmonton in the first round.
Here's the wild card Canucks first round playoff opponent. You ready for this? It's Winnipeg. Because Winnipeg has kind of played themselves out of the like President's Trophy division race. They're like 4 points back on Dallas and Colorado right now.
Yeah.
Tied in games with Colorado, game in hand on Dallas. But they've like lost 3 in a row and haven't looked good. Like Hellebuck's been a bit of a sieve.
Yeah.
They're only 5 up on Nashville. So if Nashville continues their fucking torrid pace.
Yeah.
Undefeated since the U2 debacle, 8-0-2 in their last 10. There's a chance that Nashville could overtake Winnipeg, and then Vancouver could play Winnipeg in the first round.
Oh, boy.
Which, I think of all the scenarios, that's probably my favorite.
They would destroy each other, right? Like, I mean, I think that goes for basically any team, but like, I remember the one game they had where Winnipeg won, like, was it 4-2 or something? And there were just so many huge hits that game.
Yeah, that fucking Adam Lowry bastard.
Yeah, so they have Miller destroyed a couple of guys. Like, they have some, like, history from this year already, and it's an all-Canadian matchup. Man, and it's also kind of like two loser franchises playing each other, which I love, you know?
It's kind of nice that you get them guaranteed in the next round, which can also set up nicely for, like, another all-Canadian match after that, assuming Edmonton were to beat LA a third time.
Yeah, although clearly we are hoping Edmonton just loses in the first round.
Yeah, because that's the funniest option.
I don't want to say they're my Stanley Cup favorite, but fuck, man. Like, and they haven't looked great recently, but it's like they're just like they have so much firepower and they're so scary.
Well, they have McDavid and they have Draisaitl, like, and they're in the playoffs and we see what they do when they're in the playoffs. So. Yeah. But with that said, like, everyone's found a way to shut them down to some point. I think, like, L.A., Dubois hasn't panned out. But that whole thing was, like, how can we further stifle Edmonton when we match up with them again in the first round, which they're going to probably.
Yeah.
Because they just have more depth down the center and they can't match us at the bottom of the lineup. And that also might be why they play so cynically, right? Like, it works, especially if they can get the first goal. I think Winnipeg would be fun for that reason. I know Drance was saying that he doesn't want to see Nashville in the first round.
The way they're playing, like, they're just red hot. But also, it's like, on paper, they shouldn't be that good, right?
I've seen this story enough times. I've seen it with an Andrew Brunette coached team.
Yeah.
With that Florida Panthers that won the President's Trophy, super hot all regular season, high-flying, entertaining offense, everybody fucking loves them, almost got their ass beat by a decrepit Washington Capitals team and then got swept by a team that knew how to play defense well in the second round.
Yeah.
I feel we've seen this happen to, like, the Canucks before.
Yes.
I feel like we've seen this like so many times where there's this like red hot plucky underdog, good offense coming into the playoffs that just as soon as the playoffs start and they play against like a bigger, better defensive team, they just, that whole narrative gets shut down. So really until I see an Andrew Brunette coach team win, I'm not going to be all that terrified. Like, yes, Saros can be terrifying and he's playing really good right now. Philippe Forsberg's had a good year, but like who's Ryan O'Reilly and Gustav Nyquist, right? That's their first line.
I think so.
Who else they got that's good?
Roman Josi.
Well, Roman Josi, yeah, obviously he's incredible. And I mean, McDonough's been pretty good, but he's not the McDonough of old, right? Like who else do they have on offense, you know? Because, yeah, you put out, like, the Miller line against the O'Reilly-Forsberg line and say they cancel each other out. They're, like, neutral, right?
They have it'd be the Beauvillier revenge series.
Oh, shit. See, that's my point. Oh, my God. They have so many draft picks this year as well. They're probably going to be a scary team, like, in years to come. It's just, I don't think it's this year. Yeah, like their second line is Jason Zucker, Colton Sissons, and Anthony Beauvillier.
Yeah,
third like line, Mark Jankowski, Thomas Novak, and Luke Evangelista. Like,
I would definitely be the underdogs despite how well they're put. Like, obviously, they'd be the underdogs, but like, really, like, yeah, they have. So, in terms of like their top, like, look, let's look at the Canucks leading scores, right? Mm-hmm. So, we've got bringing this up here. JT Miller with 91 points, Pettersson with 84, Hughes with 81. So Forsberg would be fourth on the team in scoring, right?
Yeah.
And then Josi would be fifth.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, you've got Nyquist would be below Besser. O'Reilly would be right below Besser. And then everyone else is below like Hronek. Then you've got Garland with 36. But it's like they definitely have depth, but
yeah.
There's no one that
not
really...
Not like the Canucks do, though, right? Like,
yes.
I think you have to kind of swing your nuts.
Oh, it would be the
Luke
Shen and... revenge series also.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. Because isn't Shen paired with Josi? Isn't he doing I think he's doing the Damned.
Oh, my God. I mean, good for him. That rocks.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Money Puck has Canucks as their second cup favorite. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I love that.
So yeah, I think like Nashville, just they don't scare me as much as they should with their crazy 17 game run. I think the other thing with that too is like they are peaking too early. Isn't that the whole thing? Like you want to be able to peak like when it really matters. And
I hope
like,
that's
I mean
what's
they've sustained
happening,
this for this long. Like, are they really going to be able to sustain it for another 2 months? Probably not.
I hope not. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, if you look at the West, there's no easy matchup, right? There's no.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, like, Washington is probably a bit better than their goal differential, but not, they're not, like, good, right?
Yeah.
And, like, so there's no Washington or Philadelphia.
I think the thing with, like, Washington is when they win, it's, like, 2-1, and when they lose, it's 7-3. So it probably negatively impacts their goal differential.
Yeah.
That's probably not, like, a good statistical case, but.
Yeah.
So I filtered the league from the All-Star break. So like since the Lindholm acquisition, who's first in expected goals against since the All-Star break? The Vancouver Canucks, folks.
Is it the Canucks,
best
really?
Defensive team in hockey based on expected goals against?
Okay.
Then the Wild, then the Lightning, then the Hurricanes, then the Kings. Expected goals for. Not as nice. They're 21st. So I guess let's look at percentage XGV. So yeah, the Canucks are 6th in the NHL of expected goals for since the All-Star break. So that's good. Like that, you know, we talk about all that shit about the Predators. You know who's 4th is the Predators.
Yeah.
Oilers are second. Wild, weirdly, are third. Stars fifth, Kings seven. So it's cool that a couple of their potential first round opponents are all like right up at the top. What's up?
I just saw the Sharks goal differential. Do you know what it is?
It's probably like a -150 or something crazy.
-130.
Holy shit.
That's so bad. Oh my God. And then Chicago is -99, which obviously is horrendous too, but like Jesus Christ.
And then on the flip side of the whole playoff thing is the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Where when was the trade deadline? Was that the first? Or was it Yeah, it was the first, right?
Wasn't it like the 6th or something?
Or the 6th, yeah, it was the week after the 1st. So yeah, it'd be the 8th. Submit. Let's see expected goals for percentage since then. Okay, that's real cool. First in expected goals for since the trade deadline is the Nashville Predators.
Okay.
Second is the Golden Knights.
Okay. Yeah, they still worry. I mean, they're 6-4 in their last 10. Canucks are 7-2-1 their last 10, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, they've picked it up, but like it's funny because it still feels like, oh man, they're not playing up to their potential. But like,
Canucks are 6, by the way, in that time and expected goals for, and the Kings are 7th. So okay. It's interesting to see the Golden Knights be that high. They're like 61%. Because whenever I've watched them, they've looked mid as fuck, and their results have been mid as fuck.
Yeah.
And I've heard anecdotal evidence of them also looking, again, mid as fuck.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe it's an eye test versus underlyings thing. That underlying profile does scare me a little bit because they do have that whole sleeping giant thing. But
and like, obviously, they're like the defending champions and you know they have like that. Like, it still scares the shit out of me.
But now Aiden Hill's hurt as well, right? Like,
I know. Like, at some point, it has to kind of like run out for them, right?
Yeah, but like they seem banged up. Like, Eichel's playing again, but when I've watched him, he hasn't looked like his like usual Eichel self, and I think his production's a bit down as well. Lord knows when Stone will be back. Hurdle's allegedly coming back by the end of the season, but again, we'll see.
And like, he's going to be rusty. He's going to be on a new team, you know? Like, it's not like he's going to fit in right away necessarily, so.
It's funny, I think it was on the Sportsnet panel. This is going to blow your mind. Luke Gazdick said the Oilers' best team in the Pacific. I know, right? So did Anson Carter.
And
Justin Williams gave it to the Golden Knights.
Okay.
So anyways.
No one said the Canucks.
No, even though they're first in the there's something good about that narratively, I think. Like, that's probably like whiteboard material where you're like, look, we're the top and they still don't fucking believe us. We're the underdogs. I mean, I hope that plays in the Canucks' hand, right?
Hopefully. I think it will. I mean, I also hope they're like not really paying attention to the media at all.
No, and I'm sure they're not really, but you might be able to use something like that as motivation. And even then, right? Like, you're not on Twitter, right?
Not really.
But like, if something was happening on Twitter and everyone was like, "Hey, Stefan Heck, he doesn't have as big of an ass as John Cullen, and his turds are small," and everyone that was like a trending topic in Vancouver. You better believe me and a bunch of other people would be like, "Hey, Stefan, check this out." Like, it's
for sure.
You're not going to be able to avoid it. So I'm sure like
their friends are probably.
Yeah. JT Mills, Brock Besser probably has a friend that's like, "Hey, look at this. They don't believe in you. What do you think about this?" Right. Like, it's funny that I don't think JT Miller is capable of having friends.
Did you see the clip of his daughter? At the
so
game,
cute.
Though? That was great. That was very good.
On JT Miller. I have this in my notes too. We gotta put some respect on that name.
Yeah.
He surpassed 90 points against the Calgary Flames.
Yep.
And becomes only the fourth player in Canucks history to pass 90 points in multiple seasons.
Yeah. Was it multiple or back to back? It was multiple, I think.
It was multiple, yeah.
So it's him, Henrik, Bure, and Naslund.
Yeah.
That's a pretty illustrious lineup.
That's a really good company, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Contract. I mean, we talked about this last episode. Probably not great long term.
Sure.
We have hope that he can be like a at least Duchesne level player like 4 years from now.
Yeah.
But damn, man, we got a We got to start thinking about Ring of Honor, JT Miller.
We absolutely do. As crazy as that sounds.
And I'm going to have his jersey.
Yeah. And I'm going to have either Hronix or Susie's. I guess we'll figure it out.
Like, my, that's going to be cool that my, two of my three named jerseys are going to be Kessler and JT Miller.
That's really good.
It's going to be like I have a type. The other one was Linden. I don't got time for any of these pussy Europeans, you know? Hard-nosed Americans. Speaking of Hronik.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you this as well. What cap hit, let's assume it's an 8-year deal, or like a seven, like a long-term deal. What dollar amount starts to make you queasy?
Man, I guess anything above, because what are they talking about now? Like, what's the amount being thrown around now?
So I was listening to Saravelli on the Canucks Conversation on the weekend.
Okay.
And Frank has been very steadfast that the number is going to begin with an 8. It's never going to not be an 8. The whole thing about being paid less than Quinn Hughes is nonsense because of rising cap and his arbitration case. And there's going to be sticker shock. But whether it's in Vancouver or somewhere else, Phil Peronic's going to get paid $8 million a year. He also said that he thought the reporting about like a $6.5 million deal, like he didn't put it in like those terms. It's just me like trying to remember what I saw.
Yeah.
He thinks any reporting about like offers and talks have been greatly exaggerated and fabricated, and that yes, Alvin's talking to the agent. Like he reported that they were talking at the GM meeting or whatever, but there's nothing close and probably no real formal offers made.
Okay.
So yeah. Like at what point are you like, nah, I'm good.
I mean, 7, I think I'm fine with. Given where the cap is, 7.5. Okay. 8. I don't know. You look at like, it's a tale of two halves of the season, right? You look at his first half and he looked fucking all world. He was unreal.
Yeah.
I think it was Cam Robinson who maybe posted.
Was it him that had that? Cause I did see that floating around on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
Let's find that out. Maybe it is.
I believe it was. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The way he's playing this, you know, it's not great, I will say, the second half of the season. So I don't think that's $8 million worth. I don't know. Oh man. It's 7.5, I think, is maybe the max, but I think he would get 8 from another team. No,
it's
question,
the gaffes, right? For me, you know.
I know. I go back to that time he had like basically the empty net and wound up for a slap shot, and it's like, oh, okay. Like that's kind of like you can't really like teach a player to not do that. That's just like their mind.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm far enough removed from that I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt where he thought that might be like the fastest way to get it in or whatever. I'm thinking more like defensive gaffes.
Yeah.
There's a play in the first period where I was watching. I was like, oh, that's good defense. Good for you, Phillip. But then like he was in the net Tyler Myers style on that third LA goal. So they do start to add up. And yeah, it was Cam Robinson and it was first 42 games, 36 points plus 32.
Okay.
Last 29 games, 9 points plus 1. And it's not as if he's had less opportunity. Like last night, I was really hoping to see Hronik and Hughes reunited again.
I know.
Wasn't really doing it for me, that Hughes-Myers pair. I wonder if there was a tactical thing for LA where they wanted more puck movers to break it out better, or like more big bastards playing with puck movers to help crush LA forecheckers, which the Canucks defense did do a good job of last night, I thought.
Yeah.
But they were reunited briefly, but no, thank you. Put my boys back together. Cause that's where I'm so conflicted. I tend to agree with you that like 7. All right, let's go. That's great. 7.5. I get it. That's probably still a fair piece of business, you know? 8 is where I'm like, ugh. I don't
8, know. I think, is where I draw the line. Even though, like, that is kind of what his contract probably will be, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of what it's going to be.
It's probably market value. And, like, yeah. You know, this is another thing Frank brought up. Like, the Hughes contract is apples to oranges. Like, the Hughes contract was buying up RFA years.
Yes.
The Hronek contract will be one RFA year and the rest UFA. So you have to, like, take that into consideration as well, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, fucking his next contract is going to be really big, Hughes's.
Yes.
And hopefully in Vancouver. How old is Filip Hronek anyways? 26?
He's 20. No, he is like 27.
He is
26. Oh, he is. Okay, I thought he was 26. Older for some reason. Yeah, he's only 26.
Okay, so even at 8 years, bring him to 34. That's probably better.
Yeah.
And, like, I do like him on the team.
Sure.
I don't like him on the first power play unit, but, like, he has been excellent with Hughes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hughes was also excellent by himself yesterday.
Yes.
His carrying the puck in the zone and how elusive he is, it's just such a treat. God. Even in a boring game, right?
He's so good, dude. And it's like really crazy how good he is.
Maybe that's why we don't like consider the Canucks boring as well. Cause even though they play pretty sound defense and they have a possession of the puck a lot, even though it's on the boards and they're not generating shots, which I wish they'd do more of, but then you just get like 5 to 10 Quinn Hughes shifts a game. We're like,
we're so spoiled, man. He's just like, you just watch him out there and he skates so fucking well. It's crazy.
Yeah,
and
he also just
seems to keep getting better too, which is really insane. Like, it's nuts. He's so good.
Right. Oh, so I guess our over under for Hronek is like 7.5.
Yeah.
7.5 for Hronek would also bring the Canucks to 18 million in projected cap space for next year.
Okay.
And I don't know if that includes
that's with Pettersson's new contract?
Yes, that's including Pettersson's new contract.
Right.
Did he get a non-signing bonus? I'm just trying to see if there is, if LTI is like considered in that at all on cap friendly. Who knows? Yeah. Impossible to say. But they'd give the Canucks 18 million at 7.5. I guess 17.5, he goes up to 8. I don't think they're going to do anything more than that. I really hope they can squeeze him to 7.5.
Yeah.
18 million. And then they would have to sign. They'd have 4 defenders signed and they would need to sign 4 forwards.
Okay.
To like have a full roster. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to do some gymnastics with like, would they be able to just keep this whole roster with that remaining cap space? If they were to like go out and make a play for new players, which I assume they want to do, right? You're always trying to improve your team.
I would imagine. I mean, I think we talked about this, I think, on the last episode, but they really need another scoring winger, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think a Jake Gensel would be item number one. And like,
yeah.
That was Drance had an article today. There's a bunch of numbers in it about the Canucks shot generation. And it's quite low for a contender. He like went and compared it with like all the cup finalists and their shot rate generation. And the only teams that shot at as low of a volume as the Canucks were like the 2012 New Jersey Devils, the Pittsburgh teams with Therrien. But like as soon as they got Balzma, the shot rate jacked right up. And then I think 2019 caps. So not really like great company to be in.
Sure.
I think a lot of that does come down to just not having as much strength on the wings. Now you hope that like, you know, Hoglander develops more next year and that can be like a bigger threat, etc. But are you going to get another shit? Bresser scored his 37th last night, right?
Yeah, he might. Are you
getting another 40 goal season from Brock Besser? Probably not.
Probably.
Maybe, but I'm not banking on it, right?
Probably not. Yeah.
So it would be like really awesome to see another high end winger in there. Let's look at pending UFAs. Is that part of the show, folks?
Let's do it. Who do we got? Is there anyone like, well, Reinhardt, I guess, is the big one.
Reinhardt would be the big one, but I imagine he stays in Florida, right?
Probably he'll stay.
Or Boston throws like a truckload of money at him because he's shooting 26% this year.
Yeah.
All right. Steve Stamkos. That's not going to happen. I mean, maybe, but probably not.
Probably.
I'm going to sort by points. Gensel, that'd be cool. Duchesne, that comes with risks. They all come with risks because they're UFAs, yeah. Right? Tyler Toffoli would be interesting.
He's looked very good with Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yeah, Jonathan Marchessault. Tara Vinanen.
Tara Vinanen? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But you get it, the top 10, like, I'm sorting by points, right?
Yeah.
Reinhardt, Stamkos, Gensel, Duchesne, Marchessault, Pavelski, Toffoli, Monahan, Teravainen, Shane Gostisbehere, Jonathan Drouin, Henry, Terrence Stamkos, Stevenson. Like,
outside of a few of them, it's just a lot of players that have a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know? It gets quite mid. Patty Kane, Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah.
Anthony Mantha, Dave Perron, Warren
Fogle. How's Mantha been with
Vegas? He scored against Calgary because I was at the game, but I don't think he's been lights out or anything. So, I mean, what would Jake Gensel cost, realistically? 9?
8 or 9, probably, yeah.
Well, go 9. Then you have $9 million to sign 2 defenders and 2 or 3 more forwards. Like,
well, you hope with the forwards, at that point, I think if you're doing that, you're like, all right, we're bringing up like 3 guys from the AHL next year. You know?
Yeah.
Like Ratu has looked really good recently.
9 points in 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Vasily, you're staying with the team. You'd have to pad out a lot more. Like, that's probably saying sayonara to Dakota Joshua, right?
I think so. Yeah, unfortunately.
Cause yeah, you could, I don't know, say, what do you think it would cost to bring Tanev here? Cause he's going to be getting offered a lot of money. Like, you know, like, Brad Treliving will pay him way too much to go to Toronto.
He'll get offered like 5 to go to Toronto. Probably.
Yeah. Right? So he would be turning down money to go to Vancouver, I think, but
yeah.
What's realistic to project that at 3.5, 4?
4 probably.
4.
Yeah.
So
let's say you do that. Right.
And then I don't know. You're not getting Zadorov back at that point. Maybe bring back a cheap Ian Cole when he's 36.
Oof. Oh, boy.
Well, because like the Canucks D at that point would be like Hughes, Hronek.
Yeah.
Susie, Juulsen.
Yeah.
And then you need to make another pair.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So you need a right and a left shot defender.
Man. Yeah, Tanev. I mean.
And then that's not accounting for like Teddy Bluger either, right? Like,
sure.
So making a big Suter
has
might
one
not
more
be,
year, right?
Yeah, Suter has one more year.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Lafferty would also be up as well.
The big thing is, and you know, obviously fans of the team get this now, but like it's just like having faith in the team to like do this is so nice, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like how are they gonna thread the needle?
Too.
Yeah, because DeSmith is
DeSmith is up
gone.
Too, yeah. And like, yeah. Has he earned a raise?
He's been good, and obviously he's been like reliable for the most part when called upon. But well, that's the thing is like with a backup, unless you're doing a 1A, 1B situation, how much better is a backup going to get if they're not like DeSmith? Like it, if you're looking for like a really good backup, it's usually like a really good young goalie that's going to like end up stealing the number one job at some point, right?
Yeah.
So like DeSmith is kind of like as good
what
as
they're
it
doing
gets.
In Carolina is really interesting. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but so Freddie Anderson's back, right?
Right.
And they also have Kochetkov up as well. And so what they've been doing is alternating starts, but they also have Spencer Martin, who they picked up off of waivers. So yes. When like, I believe, like, they had back-to-backs, right? And Anderson was starting the first, and Kochetkov was starting the second. They sent Kochetkov to the next city ahead of time. Spencer Martin was the backup for that game. So Kochetkov didn't have to worry about playing at all. Full rest, get in early, get a good night's sleep, do your thing. You're playing tomorrow night. You're our man. So Spencer Martin is there making minimum
Yeah.
To just be a backup. He is no more than that. There's no fucking, no, like, you know, funky stuff going on there.
Yeah.
That also kind of happened in Montreal with Jake Allen, but Jake Allen was never the scratch. It was always Montembeau or the other guy. You know, the other guy.
God, what is his name?
I want to say Picard, but I know that's Edmonton. It's Primo.
Is it Primo?
Katie yeah.
Primo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So like Jake Allen was like always there no matter what. And then one of those other two was like the press box guy. Even when they were like alternating. Keith
Primo's son. I was wondering.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. I thought that would be like an interesting thing for the Canucks to do if they think Silovs is ready. Is like,
yeah,
you carry Silovs in the NHL. You get him in a lot of games and try and share with Demko, but then you also have the experience just straight up backup to do the backup stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Instead of having like a 13th forward or like an eighth defenseman type of thing. And maybe we'll see more. But the other thing with Carolina is they don't have a farm team, right? So that might just be based on necessity. Weird. But I mean, it is an interesting way to do it. And they are so analytical that it does make me go, hmm.
It's weird to be such an analytical, forward-thinking team and not have an AHL affiliate.
Yeah, well, they had a messy breakup with the Chicago Wolves.
Chicago Wolves always seem to be fucking causing problems for NHL teams.
Yeah. Remember when
the Canucks had them as their... Because the Chicago Wolves whole thing is like, aren't they kind of like an independent team that like will just take players from like around the league kind of?
Yes.
And like, so like they completely prioritize just winning over development like 100%.
Yeah. I believe that is it. Because that was the case when they were Vancouver's farm team, right?
Because they were like Vancouver's farm team. Were they also like St. Louis's farm team at the same time or something?
They've got a big black book of former NHL affiliates. Speaking about backup goalies in the AHL, though, I was watching some of the Canucks, the Abbotsford Canucks and the Manitoba Moose on Sunday. And the Moose had Delia in net. Canucks legend. Colin Delia, and he got pulled in the first period after letting in two absolute stinkers. And then the goalie that they put in for him also let in some stinkers.
Yeah.
And Abbotsford won. But it was funny watching that and just like thinking back to last year that like, hey, this goalie that's getting yanked in the AHL right now was Vancouver's starting goalie when Demko was hurt last year. It's just like, it was really like, oh, wow. We really have come a long way over the last year, haven't we?
Man. Yeah. No, I can't believe. I mean, it bears repeating, I think. Like, no one would have guessed they would be this far ahead of the ahead of schedule. And also, like, look, when it comes down to it, could I see this team regressing next year? I mean, I think that's almost a given, right?
Yeah. I mean, I saw on Twitter, that like no team has had this high of a shooting percentage this far into the season as like a team shooting percentage. And I saw this framed as like a good thing. And I don't think it's that at all. But that said, right, like, okay, since the All-Star break, and this was a discussion that we're having on Discord, which I should probably promote right now.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/IHateThisTeam for access to our Discord and weekly premium episodes and to support the show, folks. But I had it since the trade deadline. I'm gonna go since the All-Star break. The Canucks shooting percentage at 515 since the All-Star break has been 91%. Or sorry, that's save percentage.
Oh, that would be insane.
Yeah, no, they can't be fucking beat. 9.35. Which has them sandwiched like right in between Montreal and Calgary at ninth in the league.
All right.
Their PDO also like 99.8, so completely average.
It has normalized.
And they've had an average schedule since then as well, right? So like the fact that they've been putting up like elite defensive results with like a middling PDO, like a normal enough shooting percentage, like – I think the play that we've seen right now, that's sustainable. What isn't sustainable and wasn't sustainable is what we saw in October, November, right? And while those games were super fun to watch and I loved watching them blow out teams, great times, I think if the Canucks right now were to have a 7-game series against the Canucks from back then, the Canucks right now would easily win the series.
I think so. They're playing better defensively. They're playing smarter hockey, I think. They're not getting the bounces that team got, but...
There's a more clear vision in my mind of like how this team can be a contender over the next couple of years that like at that point we were saying, oh, yeah, why not us? Fuck it. Maybe we are this good. Let's just ride it out. Maybe we'll get lucky all year. Right now I can see it as like, okay, maybe this team can be good because they've been doing good things. Right. And I think that's credit to Tocchet. That's credit to the team for listening to him and like continuing to strive and improve. And when he challenges them, they meet those challenges. Weirdly positive, good times.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Now they're playing quick
Dallas
predictions or
I don't fucking know.
I think they'll beat Dallas in overtime. I'm gonna say they'll beat Dallas 4-3 in overtime, and it's gonna be a hell of a game.
I really want them to win because I don't want to go through like the whole, well, I guess not the whole weekend because they play Sunday, but there's going to be days of like the sky is falling. They've lost two in a row. They can't produce against good teams. Oh, you want to hear my weird hot take? It was a troll take.
Okay.
JT Miller can't produce against these top teams. His line was invisible last night. Gotta produce more. Not a big game player.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bit of a hot take, considering I think he played pretty well yesterday.
But. Yeah, I know, but he didn't score, right? When Petey doesn't score against a good team, it's like, oh, look at this fucking bum. He sucks.
That's true. Yeah, no, you're right. Well, yeah. I'm hopeful they just like fucking destroy Anaheim at least. I would like another like 7 or 8 goal game for the Canucks.
I would love that. I would love to like, you know, maybe we can get Quinn Hughes to 100 points the Royal way. I don't know, I'm just expecting a good game against Dallas. Like both games this year against them were good. Ottinger has been quite mid. I know they're resting him tonight because they play San Jose.
Yes.
Tyler Seguin also back to being hurt.
Yeah.
Very, very bad news for my fantasy hockey team in playoffs. But
you've had some pretty bad news all around.
I won my matchup last week. We're in semis right now.
Oh, there you go.
Up 6-3 so far, but I mean the week's still young. But yeah, we've ran into some injury troubles. It's been rough. Anyways, enough about that. That's boring. Yeah. Who cares?
Go Canucks, go!
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us. Check out the Discord. Check out the Patreon.
And we'll be back. I don't know if it'll be after the Dallas game or if we'll wait until after the Sunday game.
Yeah,
we'll be back in a few days.
We'll figure something out. It's a long weekend coming up too, so
yeah, maybe Friday afternoon. We'll see, folks. Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
Peace.
Bye, everyone.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Joe Muller frozen food review. Today I was in my local ShopRite and saw this Rao's homemade 4 cheese ravioli, and I'm gonna check this out exclusively for you. Up next, stay tuned. Alright guys, so I was at my local ShopRite, I saw this product from Rao's that I've never tried before, and this ran me a total of $6.99. Wow. Okay, and that's for a 9.5-ounce package. And for those of you that are interested, here are your nutritional facts. And let me see how we're going to cook this. We're gonna cook this in the conventional air fryer. I wanna make sure it's nice and well done. So here are your cooking instructions. I am going to get this in the air fryer and we'll be right back to give it a shot. All right, let's see what this looks like, guys, in all of its frozen glory. And there it is. All right. I'm going to get this in the air fryer, get this all warmed up, ready to go. We'll be right back to give it a shot.
All right, guys. 3 minutes is... Oops. Got a little crispy crunchy.
Okay, guys. Right out of the air fryer, it is done. And this is basically what you get for $6.99. And you can see I had a little bit of an issue where some of it got a little bit burnt. That is the efficiency of the air fryer. And I only put this on for 20 minutes in the conventional oven. It says 30, but I cut it back a little bit. Still not enough. All right, let me go in here, cut this in half. And see what we got on the inside, guys. Not very impressed at all. There it is. Not much in the way of cheese. And here, in this piece, there's a little more cheese. All right, I'm going in. Salute. The cheese is very, very milky, creamy. There's really not much of it, though. Check that out. And it's not like we had blowouts here, guys. There's just not much in it. I'm trying to pick out the ones I didn't burn. And here's one. Let's check this out. That looks a little bit better. The sauce, it is very, very tart. It is very sour. I'm not really digging it. It's almost like a tomato paste in consistency. The ravioli itself is a little bit on the spongy side. It's got a really, really weird mouthfeel. Honest to God, guys, I swear it. I wanted to recommend this, but I really can't. It's really not that good. Not that good for the above reasons. Very, very sour. Not much filling. The raviolis themselves have a really, really really weird mouthfeel. And for $6.99 for this size package, I was expecting a lot more. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the very best, I'm rocking this out at a rock solid 4. I would definitely steer clear of this. They are overpriced and really not worth it. All right, guys, that is a wrap from the home studio in Hicksville. Take care. God bless. So long.